can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Righto, Don and Ivan, we're just waiting. We're a little early, but we're waiting to put a call into the doctor. Don, the doctor.
Just got another message from Vic Emergency. There's a fire 1.6 kilometres from Tankerton. Do you know where Tankerton is?
No, Don.
It's on French Island. That's where the koala bears are. And French Island is in the middle of Western Port Bay.
How much can a koala bear? Don, not a lot of fires.
No, you didn't have to, you know, that would have left people laughing. But you fucked it up by just adding a little bit more.
So Don, we're just waiting to put a call into the doctor. So just any preliminary statements.
You've I've got a few things I'd like to get his opinion on. I've got a few things here I'd like to get his opinion on.
I've got a story about the AFWL or what's it all for?
He's a very learned man,
AFWL, the doctor. AFWL football, which is going to be actually cause some consternation in amongst
He's
the ranks.
He's got an opinion about a lot of things, and I've got a couple of topics that I'd like to run past him.
All right, well, now we're waiting to... I could ring him now.
Well, why don't you try? What time...
I've got to ring him now, but I've got a feeling I haven't done something correct here. So we'll have a go at it. Here we go. Just a minute. If I just press that there, and that should be right, shouldn't it?
Yep.
Dr. Fordham here.
Oh, Doc, look, we're 3 minutes early, but we were so excited to have you back on that Don's jumped the gun. He's just he's been premature.
I've just got so many topics, and I want to get your opinion and your views on these topics. Oh,
Can I just say, first of all, I was, you know, looking through the Australia Day honours today, and I was looking down. I got down to N, for Newman, and... there was nothing there, and got down to S, Scott, and there was nothing there either.
Well, what did you do? Jump over F for Fordham.
Don't shout, Don, please.
What happened to F for Fordham? Now, listen, Doctor.
I'm just a young bloke having a go.
No. You're a star.
Don't shout, please.
Will you shut up?
Well, don't shout.
Just let Don do what Don wants to do.
Thank you. Fuck,
You're always going on about the levels and worried about the volume.
Well,
and I listen,
Doc,
to the podcast.
I am sitting here looking at the levels, and they've gone into the... they've gone puce. When Don speaks, they're just green and gold with Ivan and I, but they've gone magenta with Don.
Well, don't get overly sensitive, Sam, because I assure you, even when you're shouting that he's shouting, I'm listening and it sounds just fine.
Can I ask you one quick thing before Don goes?
Yes.
I rang you yesterday. Listen to this, Don. The doctor's answer machine. It goes something like this.
About a text message?
It says, hello.
Yes.
Please don't bother sending text.
You've got to send a text. Don't leave a message.
Don't leave a message. If you love someone, you're better to...
No, if you're something in the modern world.
Don, will you do it then?
You know what, doctor, how does it go?
It says something like...
I'm going to play it now.
Nobody's got time these days to listen to voicemail messages. If you truly love someone,
yes,
you'll save them some time by sending them a text. I mean, we know that someone's got a missed call. So if I've got a missed call from Sam Newman, I know you've called. So what's the point in someone leaving a message saying, hey, doctor, can you please call me back? So text messages are a far more effective way of communicating.
You assume that I'm going to say, oh, it's Sam Newman I've called. I might be going to say something. Doc, let me tell you this quickly, and because I said I had some information for you, which you might use. I did say that to you when I texted you.
Mm. Yeah, well, I was already tucked up in bed. I was having an early night last night because I've been working this morning. I work on public holidays as well, and I just got a call live on the air from Dylan Alcott, our Australian of the Year, who's a terrific bloke.
He initiated the call, or did you?
No, I tried ringing him at 6:45. He was fast asleep after winning the Australian of the Year last night, and then at 8:55,
winning the Australian of the Year. Do you win?
Yeah, he called. Yeah, well, he won. He won the Australian of the Year Award.
Do you win that, do you?
Yeah, well, you can be the recipient. You can be the winner. You can be the person who's honoured as the Australian of the Year.
What did you think of Grace Tame, Doctor?
Oh, look, I just thought it was embarrassing and awkward, and I just thought she should have handled it so much better. I mean, if she felt so strongly about Scott Morrison and not wanting to be near him, she could have easily said, hey, listen, with coronavirus bouncing around, I'm trying to stay away from large gatherings. I think I'll give the whole occasion a miss. But the thing that really annoyed me more than anything was the way Jenny Morrison was treated, because when she walked up to the Prime Minister and his wife, Scott Morrison...
Oh, you mean Grace Tame walked up to the both of them, yeah?
When Grace Tame and her fiancé walked up, Scott Morrison said, Grace, and then he said, congratulations on the engagement. She said, g'day. She put her hand out, didn't look him in the eye, and then she clearly wanted to give him the cold shoulder, but she also iced Jenny Morrison. It took the Prime Minister's wife to lean out and catch her attention to say hello, and I just don't know what Jenny Morrison did to deserve that.
He's been in some embarrassing situations, hasn't he? The other one that made me cringe was when he went down to the fires a couple of years ago and put out his hand to the volunteer firefighter who just brushed him, didn't even acknowledge him.
Yeah, I mean, look, that I can understand a bit more, because these people have just lost homes and they're in the middle of a tragedy, and they obviously knew that Scott Morrison was in Hawaii at the time, and then he reluctantly came home from a family holiday. But the thing yesterday with Grace Tame, I mean, Grace has done an amazing job at raising awareness about survivors of abuse, and she's certainly made noise about that issue, as she promised to do a year ago when she was given the gong. But, you know, I've had these things happen before, Sam and Don, where I've had a politician who I've been at war with, and we've been smacking each other on air, and then all of a sudden I'm asked to host an event and that politician is one of the guests. Well, I don't use the occasion to try and turn it into something about me and my beef with that person. You get up there and you show the person respect, because it's respect for the office of Prime Minister, even if you don't have a lot of time for the person themselves. And I say again, if she didn't want to be there, don't go.
Well, what sort of IQ would you have to be to make to respect the office? What Grace, whatever, seriously, who cares what she thinks, honestly? Fair.
Well, I certainly care what she thinks.
Really?
About issues relating to abuse, because the thing that she highlighted when she became Australian of the Year, and this is why she got the gong, and this may be lost on some people, she wasn't allowed under Tasmanian law to tell her story. And so she fought and campaigned and had that change.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's great for victims of abuse. And what she's done over the last 12 months, I'm sure she's done some terrific things in highlighting the issue. But that doesn't excuse the rudeness that was displayed at the lodge.
That's what
There was no reason to do it. And
maybe she was frustrated and had made these approaches to the government, and the government didn't acknowledge her approaches.
Who cares about her lack of manners?
That's speculating, but I say again, what did Jenny Morrison do to deserve the cold shoulder from Grace Tame? I don't know what the Prime Minister's wife could possibly have done. She's a first-class human being, a very impressive woman. And she was given the side eye and the ice cold treatment from Grace Tame. I just thought that Grace should have been more humble than that and realised that this was a day to recognise all of the wonderful people who've done extraordinary things in the last 12 months.
Yes.
Not to turn it into a moment where everyone was going to be focusing on her.
Yes, so Grace should have more class and just actually accept where she is and why she's there and not victimise people who are trying to do the right thing by her. It's just projection. It's just bullshit.
So what's your big story, Sam? You got a big story you're breaking, mate?
Well, no. I was going to...
Now, be careful.
Yeah, well, I will be careful. I'll try and be careful. The AFWL are going to find themselves in a small predicament. This is what I'm suggesting, because The Women's Football League is now going to embrace, which we're all very happy with, the Gay Pride game, and they were all asked to wear Gay Pride jumpers to signify the event, and that's fine, and you can that's fine. But when you try to be all things to all people, you can sometimes shoot yourself in the foot, because one of the people who was meant to be the face of AFLW football this season said that she wasn't. She is actually a proper female, biological female. Said she wasn't comfortable with wearing the jumper because it was against her her beliefs and her upbringing and her culture, and so. There has now been a sort of a
recoiling,
a division between someone who said no, that's not my culture, that's not my beliefs, and I don't sympathise. I sympathise with it, but I don't follow that, and I'm not going to wear the jumper. And so they.
This is the problem when you ask everyone to subscribe to something other than what they're actually there to do.
My point
exactly.
And
what we want people to do is to play football.
Uh-huh.
And the moment you say, okay, no, we need you to support Black Lives Matters or we need you to support some other cause, then you are going to have the situation where some people are going to support it and others aren't. And we saw that with the cricketers, where we had South African cricketers who were punished because they said, I don't want to take a knee. Now, I'm not someone who wants to take a knee. It's not something that's in my makeup. I've got huge concerns about the Black Lives Matter movement, even though I've got absolute respect for black people. But the BLM movement led to riots and looting and fires and violence in the United States of America. So when cricketers were told you must take a knee, and when some said I would prefer not, they were excluded from competition. Now, on the issue of the Pride round or same-sex marriage, I was part of the Yes camp. I want it to happen. I believe in it passionately. But again, if you expect everyone to line up and fall into line on an issue, well, that's not the way the real world works.
Interesting also, Doc,
spot on. I was trying to say that, but you said it in far more articulate terms. The face of this competition in the name of diversity and inclusion, she just didn't accept. She accepts what they're on about, but she's just not going to wear the jumper because it's against her her beliefs and her culture, and so they've had to try and
Yeah, but hang on, but the coach of...
And that's exactly the point, Doc, is if you just concentrate on putting the sport on rather than trying to make political statements at every opportunity to show how woke and how inclusive and how equitable and equity and equal you are, I mean, honestly, just let people play the sport.
Well, different opinions, different tastes. We know that that's a reality of life and society, but the one thing everyone agrees on is the team. So if they're turning up to play cricket or turning up to play AFL, everyone believes in the team and everyone believes in the pursuit of success and trying to win. But when you then say, okay, let's add in some other elements, what do you think about abortion? What do you think about euthanasia? What do you think about same-sex marriage?
Yes.
What do you think about BLM? Well, you've got to accept that not everyone is going to think the same way. So I think that's why it's a difficult path to walk down. You could still have a pride round or whatever else you want to support along the way. But when you're asking individuals to do certain things, well, you're going to have individual choices and they need to be respected.
Now, a coach from one of those teams, actually Michael Pryor, who played football for Essendon and then went to Fremantle, he's coach of the West Coast ladies team. He's taken a stand and said, we're here to play football. And so consequently on that Pride day, or was it last week, the West Coast team did not wear the Pride jumper, or the colours weren't on their particular Guernsey. So there was someone, the coach of the team, saying we're here for football, not for issues.
And that's where these problems are created out of thin air, because they're problems that didn't exist. And then all of a sudden you inject this debate and this issue into sport, and then you have a problem that emerges when really you didn't need to have one in the first place. So that's why it is better to leave things separately and to give people a chance to use their own profiles, their own social media pages, their own voice to voice their own opinions, as opposed to saying we must all think the same way and act the same way.
So how are we going up there in New South Wales and Sydney?
On
Australia Day, people gathered and said we've been invaded, and has this gone to another level now? Or is anyone any chance of us getting on together?
There will be there'll be Invasion Day protests today, and there'll be Australia Day celebrations today. It's been happening that way for a long time. It'll probably happen like that forever. And, you know, it's one of these days where no doubt for many Indigenous people, it's a time of sorrow. And for a lot of non-Indigenous people, we're being encouraged more. And I think a lot of people are reflecting more on what's happened to Indigenous Australians. But overwhelmingly, Australians feel very blessed that we live in this great country. And we want a chance to be able to do all of that as one. So you can't even find agreement within the Indigenous community on the future of Australia Day, because there are some Indigenous leaders who say leave it exactly the way it is. There are plenty of others who want to change. But then you've got the debate around the Australian flag, around the national anthem. I mean, you can almost set your calendar to it, can't you, at this time of year, that we know it's going to be the same old debate going over and over again. So I don't know. It shows no signs of going away, and it's a bit of a shame, really, because it should be a day where we all thank our lucky stars that we live in Australia.
Do you think it was timely that Australia or the Australian government bought the Indigenous flag for $20 million?
I think it was, because I hate the idea that a couple of business people owning a clothing brand were making money off this when charities and local sporting groups weren't able to use it. And this, you had a couple of blokes who were running a clothing brand who were able to demand royalties be paid to them when people wanted to display
but
the flag.
What about the artist himself? He was also charging. And
yeah,
he
no,
is
no,
Indigenous.
What it was is he received the $20 million, the artist, but he had agreements in place with Wham Clothing, which is run, as I understand it, by two white blokes who are based in Victoria somewhere. So
Queensland.
The $20 million is... Oh, they're Queensland, are they?
I think
my apologies.
So, yeah.
So the $20 million has gone to the artist, and the artist has now had to compensate those from Wham.
But he would have also... The artist would have also got a cut out of it, and he was the one who was licensing the product in the first place.
Yeah, but I mean, the same thing happened with the Boxing Kangaroo, right? The Boxing Kangaroo was not an official flag. So the same thing happened where the Australian Olympic Committee years ago went, look, we want to be able to use this thing. We want anyone to be able to use the Boxing Kangaroo. We don't want restrictions placed on people or people being charged to use it. So we're going to have to fork out money. I think they forked out about $15 million or something like that to free up the Boxing Kangaroo. And the same goes for the Indigenous flag. So, I think if you're running a charity, if you're running a regional sporting group and someone's trying to charge you to use the flag, I don't think that's ideal.
So, Doc,
$20 million is a lot of money to us, but in the grand scheme of things as a country, it's probably money well spent.
Well, I think the artist actually should have donated, being Indigenous. I think he should have donated the flag.
Well,
why? It was his creation, his design.
Doc. So this leads to the ludicrous, this isn't my opinion, the ludicrous situation where we end up having two flags flying across our embassies or above our Parliament House. We have the Aboriginal flag, and we have the Australian flag.
And the Torres Strait Island flag.
How about we just have one flag that represents our nation? Because to fly two beside one another shows that there is division going on, and we are divided when it defeats the actual purpose of what we live under one flag for.
On top of the Sydney Harbour Bridge flies the Australian flag and the New South Wales flag. And on certain days of the year, like this day, instead of the New South Wales flag, we fly the Aboriginal flag, and yes. I love the Aboriginal flag. Yes, I love the look of it. I love the feel of it.
Yes.
And look, I don't think it's an issue whether you're flying two flags. I really don't.
So the embassy in Britain or around the world, you're comfortable with two flags flying above our missions or our embassies overseas? Are you?
Oh well, look, I'm not. Is that the case that
yes.
we do it overseas?
Yes.
Yeah. Well. I mean, look, mate, if someone says, oh, what's the go with that? What's the other flag? You say to them, well, that's the Aboriginal flag and that's our national flag, the Australian flag.
Yes.
I mean, if someone's going to end up in the fetal position because they've heard that, then they've probably got too much time on their hands. It doesn't worry me. And I also, I've got a strong...
defeats the purpose of it.
Well, what's the purpose of it?
The purpose is if we all live in one country under one flag and we're all united, rather than showing that there's a division by having two flags flying beside one another.
But where you see division, I see two flags. I don't see division between them. I see an Indigenous flag and I see an Australian flag. And once upon a time, there was a push on to change the Australian flag, but the youth of Australia said no to that because they started waving the flag every Australia Day. They started getting the flag tattooed to their body. And you have a look around on Australia Day, certainly when COVID's not around, and you see it everywhere on T-shirts and thongs and swimming costumes. The younger people of Australia have made a statement that they want to keep the Australian flag the way it is. But look, I mean, we're all different, Sam. I don't mind seeing an Indigenous flag flying
alongside the Australian flag.
If
you want to change the flag... but. Just have one flag that represents our country overseas. Of course it shows division if you have two different flags, Doc.
That's like saying that you've got division on the podcast because there's two hosts and you guys agree on everything.
No, there's
all the
time. Whoa. Can I tell you that there is one host and one control freak and he does both jobs?
Now, listen, can I tell you guys something?
Don's taking his shirt off. He's sitting here bare-chested. What do you make of that, Doc, seeing as you're a psychoanalyst from afar?
He's trying to get attention. It's a cry for help. I wouldn't worry about it too much.
No, I'm reacting. Doctor, I am reacting to Victorian Emergency Services who've just sent out a warning at 8:17 about that we are going to experience extreme heat conditions here today in Melbourne. And I am reacting.
And old people should drink water. Imagine having to tell people that.
And don't sit in the car. It was another condition.
Yeah,
hey, listen,
I think Sam
might be getting old and cranky, Don. Don't tell him. But I think he might be getting a bit old and cranky.
Oh, no, he's still interested. Don't you worry about age. He's looking at a 31-year-old.
Oh.
So there's a bit of kick in the old fellow.
What did you say then?
You heard.
No, I didn't.
And the doctor heard too. You picked it up very quickly, didn't you, Doc? You could run with this story.
I remember last week Sam claiming that someone else on his boat had signed him up to one of those
dating
websites.
That's true. That is absolutely...
No, it wasn't on the boat, Doctor. It wasn't on the boat.
It doesn't matter where it was, Don. That's absolutely true, Doc.
I think you just need to reset the age bracket that you're looking for because you're clearly more interested in people in their 20s, 30s or 40s.
No, 30s he is. He's drawn the line at 20.
I tell you what, Doc, if you're standing erect and breathing, you're through to the semis. If you're standing erect and breathing, you're through to the semis without dropping a set.
I didn't think you could get erect.
Not me, you fucking idiot. Sorry, Doc.
Let's get serious for just a moment.
Right, Doc,
if there was a woman out there who you found attractive, interesting.
Whose pronouns were she and her.
Yeah, and if you were of a mind open yourself up to love again, despite the very difficult circumstances.
It doesn't have to be love,
Doctor,
it doesn't have to be love. It could be just dirty water on the chest.
Don, shut up. Let the doc
Would
speak.
You be prepared to open yourself up once again to new opportunities?
Yeah, I would. I'd like to establish absolutely that the pronouns I was going out with were she and her. I'd hate to have got onto someone whose pronouns were they or thus or them.
Why?
Because I wouldn't like to just...
You're not being inclusive.
No, that's correct.
You know what? Breaking news, you're no longer, as of this week, allowed to say preferred pronouns. Do you know why?
No.
Because the word preferred suggests a person's pronoun is optional. So this This is from the University of Washington.
Oh, man.
They say that we can no longer say the word lame because it's ableist. We can't say spirit animal because that verges on cultural appropriation. We can't say minority because that implies a less than attitude towards a certain community. So minority groups can't even call themselves minority groups. And preferred pronouns is problematic because they say the word preferred suggests that this is a choice and therefore a person's pronoun is optional.
Well, you
so
will,
it's hard to keep up with this stuff.
You will love what we're going to play in lieu of an interview about exactly what you're talking about. And also we mentioned the entry criteria for the Hollins University in, where was it, Manhattan? No, Virginia.
Virginia.
We read it out and it honestly, you just cannot believe you're living in the same on the same planet.
Here's another one in the last week. Jamie Oliver, the celebrity chef, he has revealed that he employs offence advisors who have the task of vetting his recipes to make sure there's no cultural appropriation because, God forbid,
fantastic.
he once used a Caribbean dish and he's not from the Caribbean, so he now has to pay the PC police to monitor his recipes. We also have a university in the UK in the last week who has decided to put a trigger warning before one of the most iconic novels ever written, and that's George Orwell's 1984, even though the novel was all about warning about a totalitarian state that persecutes free thinking and the thought police. Well, the thought police and Big Brother now want a trigger warning before George Orwell's 1984 because they say the book contains violence, gender, class and political ideas and even offensive language. So,
and that's where we're headed, Doc. We have marginalised communities setting the agenda for everyone to feel guilty about...
But you know what? In a lot of these cases, it's not even the marginalised communities doing it. It's people from majority communities who think they know what the minority communities want and worry about.
Famed.
And therefore create jobs for people in majority communities to be employed as the thought police or the cultural offensive monitors of recipes. What about M&M's? Did you see what M&M's
yep.
did?
Oh, they've changed the boots and the shoes. Seriously, this is just
M&M's,
feigned,
they're the
feigned yep. solemnity.
Hang on,
this
Johnny, M&M's are the sweet, aren't they?
Oh, yes,
Don. Yeah, what happened, Don, is M&M's on the ads, M&M's are little cartoon characters, but Mars, the parent company, has decided that the green M&M, instead of wearing go-go boots, they're going to be replaced with sneakers. They want it to be more inclusive. But, I mean, honestly, if anyone has ever viewed M&M chocolates as objects of desire, you need to see a doctor, and I'm not the doctor who's going to help.
Why aren't you qualified?
You know, Doc.
Well, mate, honestly, I mean, M&Ms are for eating. They're not for making love to. Who looks at a cartoon character of a chocolate and thinks about things relating to the bedroom?
I do.
It's just woke shit, it is. It's just nonsense.
Now, listen, how's Ivan? Is Ivan alive?
Yeah, Ivan's still here, still kicking. Yeah, might have a job being the social media advisor here.
What's that mean,
oh,
Ivan?
That right?
Oh, I might
well,
be
maybe,
able to maybe censor.
Maybe Ivan could Ivan be the thought police for the You Can't Be Serious podcast?
I'd be, 24 hours a day, I think.
No,
24 hours a day. And imagine the announcement when you put out the press release to say we've appointed someone in the role to make sure we don't offend anyone. That person is Ivan Milat.
I think I'd last 1 week.
Don.
That was very good.
Christ.
That was very good,
don't
by
thump
that.
The table like that. You fucking single.
Now, listen, can I tell you guys something?
Thank you, Doc.
I'm interviewing on the program, on my 2GB breakfast program tomorrow morning, the one and only Andrew Bogut,
yeah.
who has been harassed by the Victorian Electoral Commission, all because he posted a video on social media about those draconian pandemic laws that Daniel Andrews tried to introduce. So he posted a video, then he receives a letter from the Victorian Electoral Commission threatening him with a fine just for sharing his view. So I'm going to be talking to him on 2GB on Thursday morning, and I've been warned by him. He said, look, I'll come on, but I will be referring to you as the doctor. So, Bogut is a regular listener of this podcast.
He's a good man. He's been on our show.
And, So he's warned me. He goes, mate, I'll do it. He goes, but at the end of the interview, I won't be saying thanks, Ben. I'll be saying thanks, doctor.
Fantastic.
So I'll be talking to him tomorrow morning at about 8:15 a.m. on 2GB. If you want to hear a You Can't Be Serious reference in the middle of a 2GB interview from Andrew Bogan. Oh,
that'll be brilliant. So we're interviewing next week the man who sent the start of that video, that thing, Don, put me onto? The Save Us.
Oh, Battleground. Melbourne. That's been censored too down here.
Yep.
So we are becoming a police state in Victoria. You cannot get it on the regular internet. You've got to go onto some particular internet, which a young person put me onto. But it was a recap of what happened in Victoria over the past 2 years with regard to COVID.
Now, just to finish, Doc.
I'd just like to ask him, did Robbie Lang, the racehorse trainer, make news up in Queensland?
In Queensland? Well,
no, New South Wales, I mean. New South Wales. He made a comeback, Doctor. He was rubbed out for 2 years.
I have not caught up with that news, but I'll be getting straight onto my racing contacts to find out all about it as soon as I say goodbye. And I just say this to you boys in closing. You may be worried about the thought police. You may be worried about political correctness and about silencing people. But you can always tune into the You Can't Be Serious podcast and you get to hear direct from Sam Newman, Don Scott, and Ivan Milat. Exactly,
and the doctor. And the doctor.
Without anyone editing you or trying to silence you, which is a good thing.
Well, you're a very good man, Doc. Now, just this is the final thing I was going to say. Do you realise the bill for the public servants which the Andrews government have employed in this state has run to $36 billion, not million, $36 billion a year to employ the public servants that try and keep him in power?
I didn't realise that, Sam, I'm glad you filled me in on it. Can I just tell you one little joke before I go?
Please.
Why do squirrels swim on their back?
So they don't get their nuts wet.
To keep their nuts dry. Well done, Don Scott. You're way smarter than I am.
See, I'm just not a fucking pretty face.
Doc, let me... we've done
this. Shirtless.
What's the difference? What's the difference between a lentil and a chickpea?
What?
I've never had a lentil on my face.
You can't be serious.